ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद्भागवतम Second Canto, Chapter 10, Bhagavatam is the answers to all questions. Text 47. Parimanam
cha
kalasya kalpa lakshana vigraham jatha purastad vyakhyasye padmam kalpam atha shrinu. Parimanam cha kalasya kalpa lakshana vigraham jatha purastyad vyakhyase padmam kalpam atho shrinu. Parimanam cha kalasya kalpa lakshana vigraham jatha purastad vyakhyasye padmam kalpam atho shrinu. Parimanam cha kalasya kalpa lakshana vigraham jatha purastyad vyakhyasye padmam kalpam atho shrinu.
Parimanam cha kalasya
kalpa
lakshana vigraham
jatha
purastyad vyakhyasye
Parimanam,
measurement,
parimanam, measurement.
Cha,
also,
kalasya,
of time,
kalpa,
a day of Brahma, lakshana, symptoms, vigraham, form, yatha, as much as, purastat, hereafter, vyakhase, shall be explained, padmam, by the name of Padma, kalpam, the duration of a day, atho, das, shrinu, just hear. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O King, I shall in due course explain the measurement of time in its gross and subtle features with the specific symptoms of each. But for the present, let me explain unto you the Padma Kalpa. Please repeat after me. O King,
O King,
I shall in due course
explain the measurement of time
in its gross and subtle features
with the specific symptoms of each.
But for the present,
let me explain unto you
the Padma Kalpa.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
The present duration of Kalpa of Brahma is called the Varaha Kalpa or Sweta Varaha Kalpa, because the incarnation of the Lord as Varaha took place during the creation of Brahma, who was born on the lotus coming out of the abdomen of Vishnu. Therefore, this Varaha Kalpa is also called Padma Kalpa, and this is testified by acharyas like Jiva Goswami as well as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in pursuance of the first commentator Swami Sridhar. So there is no contradiction between the Varaha and the Padma Kalpa of Brahma.
Parimanam chakalasya kalpa lakshana vigraham yatha purastad vyakhasye padmam kalpam atho shrinu.
O King, I shall in due course explain the measurement of time in its gross and subtle features with the specific symptoms of each. But for the present, let me explain unto you the Padma Kalpa.
So, this chapter is giving the answers to all relevant questions pertaining to the creation and maintenance of this material nature. Yesterday we discussed that there are three aspects of time, the greatest aspect is Mahakalpa, then Vikalpa, and then Kalpa. So here, then it has been also described, like, what are the Kalpas? The Kalpas are consisting of the day of Brahma. There are 30 Kalpas in a day of Brahma. That has been quite extensively discussed yesterday. And quoting from Skanda Puran, Prabhupada gave the specific names of those Kalpas. So these are, and then the Vikalpa is Vikalpa is the Brahma's duration, and then Mahakalpa is Mahavishnu's creation due to the breathing of Mahavishnu. Let us go back to the yesterday's those points. I'll reiterate them from Prabhupada's purport. There are three different types of creation called Mahakalpa, Vikalpa, and Kalpa. In the Mahakalpa, the Lord assumes The first Purusha incarnation as Karana Dakshai Vishnu with all the potencies of the Mahatattva and the 16 principles of creating matter and instruments. The creative instruments are 11 and ingredients are 5. What are the 5 ingredients? Who remembers? Yes, Ben?
Air, water, earth.
Yeah, fire and ether. Earth, water, fire, air and ether. These are the 5 ingredients of creation. And then there are 11 instruments of creation. What are those 11 instruments? Who remembers those 11 instruments? Yes, Ganga Narayan?
5 knowledge attaining senses, 5 objective senses.
And working senses. Yeah, 5 working senses.
And mind.
And mind. 5 knowledge acquiring senses, Gyanendriya, and 5 Karmendriya, 5 working senses, and the 1 internal sense, mind. So 11 plus 5 is 16 principles of creation. So, and these creations by the Lord in His feature as Karanodakshay Vishnu are called Mahakalpa. So, the material nature, initially the material nature remains in a dormant stage or unmanifested stage, abhyakta. Then the material nature becomes vyakta or manifest due to the influence of the Lord, which comes in the form of His glance. The Lord glances towards the material nature, and as a result of that, the material nature becomes manifest. And as a result of the glance of the Lord, the living entities, the spirit souls, come into the material nature. And then they, the living entities, with the potency or with the influence of the Lord, becomes active in this material nature through these 16 principles. 5 elements and 11 instruments. And living entities, like, what are we? We are living entities. So we are using these instruments. Aren't we using these instruments? The material nature became manifest due to our presence here. We are using those instruments in the form of, we have 5 senses, we have 5 working senses, and we have the mind. And as a result of that, the material nature becomes activated or agitated. The material nature becomes active. We come, we develop a subtle body consisting of mind, intelligence and false ego. They all have been classified here as one, as mind. But the further analysis will explain that that also has two other aspects of intelligence and false ego. Man, buddhi and ahankar. Intelligence and false ego. With these 3 we develop a subtle body. And with the subtle body, the living entity becomes active in the material nature. Then the material nature averts the living entity with a gross body. The spirit soul gets a subtle body. And then according to the subtle body, the nature averts him with the gross body. The gross body is made of 5 elements. We have the body, the elements that with which the body was created are 5 in number. Every body is made of these 5 elements. Earth. Earth means solid substance. Then water, liquid. Then fire, then air, then ether. We can see that we have a solid substance in the body. And we have also water in this body. We know that human bodies have about one-third earth, solid substance, and one-fourth actually. About one-fourth is solid and three-fourth is liquid. 25% solid and 75% is liquid. Although it seems that we have a body, solid body, but actually 75% of the body is water. And there are some other bodies where there is more earth and less water. Like the tree bodies, mostly it is cellulose, solid. But inside we see the tree also has water. When you cut the tree, we see that juice is coming out, water is coming out. And then the water dries out. If you cut the tree and keep it outside, the water leaves the body and becomes wood, solid wood, dry wood. Generally, as you cut the tree, you can't burn it immediately. Why? Because there is water. But when the water leaves the tree, water becomes dry, then that wood becomes flammable. Very easily it burns. Similarly, there are some bodies that are made of fire. There are bodies that are made of fire. In our body also we have fire. Like body has a temperature, where does the temperature come from? The temperature is coming from fire. Dead body becomes cold. Why? Because the fire lives the body. So in our body we can see in this way, we have earth, we have water, we have fire, we are breathing. That is air. And not only the breathing, every single function of the body is performed by different types of air. There are five types of airs: pran, apan, saman, vyan, and udan. And due to that, the activities of the body goes on. Like we know of prana vayu, prana air. It is due to the prana we are breathing. It is due to the prana the soul is in the body. So when the prana vayu lives, the soul lives with that. In Sanskrit or in Hindi, that expression is very clear. Pran tyag diya. Pran tyag diya. Matlab, pran vayu left the body. In English also sometimes they use the expression life air left. The life air. So it is the prana vayu that holds the soul with the body. And the function of the soul, that the body and soul is in harmony inside the body due to the activity of the prana, which is manifested in the form of breathing. We are breathing. Why breathing is so important? Because it is enabling the soul to remain in the body and become active in the body. That's why breathing is so vital. But do you think breathing is vital? Also, another vital aspect is udan, the activities of the apana vayu. Apana vayu makes the waste product leave out of the body. Like whatever we release from the body, evacuation, urination, all that, perspiration is due to the apana vayu. Like when And it is apanavayu that actually releases the undesirable elements from the body. Then udana, samana, vyana, and udana, vyana, vayu permeates through the body and activates the nervous system. Our sense perceptions are due to the nervous system. And the nervous system is activated by the vyana. So in this way, different activities of the body are performed by these five types of airs. Pran, apan, saman, vyan, and udan. So, and then we can see that in this way the body is different elements predominates the body. Like in the, as I mentioned, like on the earth planet, generally, the bodies are predominantly predominant part or element is water. Now we can also see the similarity. We know like the earth planet, how much of the earth planet is water? Three-fourth water and one-fourth land. But there are other planets which is more, say, fire. Like you go to sun planet, what will you find there? There is sun planet is made of fire. Now, is sun planet empty? No. Sun planet also have living entities. They also have their subtle body and gross body. And their gross bodies are made, predominantly made of fire. They have fiery bodies. The elements predominantly used there are fire. In the sun planets, if you go, you'll find there the houses are built with fire, roads are built with fire, chariots are built with fire, and everybody there have their bodies made of fire. That's how they can live in the planet. Then you go even higher. Then you'll get aerial body, bodies that are predominantly made of air. And then bodies predominantly made of ether. The higher we go, more subtle it becomes. So here we have mainly predominantly water bodies. And then fiery bodies, aerial bodies, ethereal bodies. But beyond those, gross bodies are the subtle bodies. Those subtle bodies are made of three subtle elements. Those three subtle elements are mind, intelligence, and false ego. Everybody has these two types of bodies. Everyone in this material nature has two types of bodies. Two types of material bodies. Gross material body and subtle material body. With the gross material body we become active. With subtle material bodies we cannot become active. Like the instruments, we consider the instruments the most effective, or the most of the instruments are pertaining to the gross body. Working senses, hands, legs, etc. They are the instrument of the gross body. Then senses, the knowledge acquiring senses, they are relative to the gross body, but ultimately they go into the subtle body, the mind. Therefore, mind is considered to be the internal sense. All the senses that we have in the body, those activities of the senses are relative to the mind. If the mind is not connected, the senses cannot perceive. Like some object may be in front of our eyes, but if our mind is not connected to the eye, into the object, we won't see that, we won't notice it. Doesn't it happen sometimes? Like something is there in front of our eyes, but we don't see. Some sound is there, but we don't hear. Why? Because the mind is not connected. On the other hand, when the mind is connected, then only we register. So in this way, the mind is the internal sense. Now the gross body, with the gross body, living entities become active and try to fulfill their desires. The desires are coming through the mind. Desires are generating from the soul. Desires are generating from consciousness. Where does consciousness come from? Consciousness is coming from the soul. And through the mind, the consciousness is going towards the material direction. And as a result of that, we become entangled in the material nature. Then what is happening? In the material nature, we are becoming active. We are acting. And those actions are generating reactions. And we are becoming entangled with those reactions. Like we are acting, now some acts are good, some acts are bad. Good actions give us good results, and bad actions give us bad results. When we do something good, as a result of those good actions, what do we get? We get enjoyment. What is enjoyment? Enjoyment is fulfillment of desire. When our desires are fulfilled, we enjoy. And bad actions lead us to punishment, suffering. We are subjected to enjoyment and suffering, happiness and distress in this material nature due to our past karma, past actions. As we acted accordingly, we are getting the results. And in this way, the living entities are entangled in this material nature through the gross body. And the gross body has certain duration. We live in a gross body for a certain period of time. If we know how to use the body nicely, then we can live for a long time. If we do not know how to use the body properly, then the body doesn't last very long. Body is like a machine, like a motor car, automobile. So if you know how to take care of your motor car, then what happens? The car lasts for a very long time. But if you don't know how to use the car, if you don't know how to drive the car, what will happen? You'll go and bang it against something and the car will be finished. So in this way, our body is like a machine. If we know how to use this body, we live a long time, long life. And if we don't know how to use it, if we misuse it, then the duration, longevity of this machine reduces. So pious activities, good actions lead us to enjoyment through this body, and bad actions lead us to suffer. And also bad actions take away the duration of our life. Generally, everybody has a lifespan of 100 years. But if we act in a wrong way, generally I'm talking about, generally the body is supposed to last for 100 years. Just like you buy a car, a Tata Sumo, you know that it should last for 10 years at least. But if you take care of the car nicely, then it will last for 15-20 years. Like Premalila was telling yesterday that she had a car from 82, so that is 26 years it lasted. So must have taken care of the car very nicely. Then there are some cars, the vintage cars. Like I remember, I saw one Rolls Royce that was made in 1903. So that means that car was, I mean, I saw it of course about 20 years back. But still, it was how many? About 80 years old. 85 years old. And now it is 105 years old. So it is a good car and it was taken care of nicely, so it is still running. So if somebody knows how to use his body properly, he can have a long duration. But if somebody acts in an inappropriate way, then the duration of his life is reduced. For example, the duration is 100 years for a human being. One is supposed to live for 100 years. Then he does something wrong, the lifespan is reduced by 1 month. He does something, continues to do some wrong activities, reduced by 1 year, reduced by 2 years, reduced by 10 years, reduced by 20 years, reduced by 50 years. So it has been reduced by 50 years, and now when he reaches 50, what happens? He has to leave his body. So actually, the lifespan is a matter of soul's presence in the body. And nature gives the body, this body. Nature rewards us. Good, you get a machine now. You get a rabbit body. You get a cockroach body. The nature, according to the living entities, previous activities rewards him. And actually it is according to his karma that nature, and according to the subtle body that nature rewards him, the gross body. Like as one acts accordingly, the subtle body takes the shape. Every action actually leaves its imprint in our subtle body or in our mind. Did you notice? If you do something good, how do you feel? In your mind, when you do something good, don't you feel good and light in your mind? You do something bad, and even though no one saw you doing it, how do you feel? You feel heavy. So in this way, every action actually leaves its imprint. Now let us consider somebody acts in a very nice way. Sometimes we say, oh, he is like an angel. He is like an angel. He is like a saint. So when one acts in that way, then his subtle body takes the shape of an angel or a saint. And sometimes we say that man is an animal. Don't you say that? Oh, he's a pig. Because he acts like a pig. And due to his actions, his subtle body takes the shape of angels. What kind of shape does it take? It takes the shape of a pig's subtle body. So subtle body then takes the shape of a pig. Although he is in a human body, but his subtle body is changing. He's taking the shape of a pig. And then after he leaves the body, then the subtle body carries the soul. By nature's arrangement, the soul is carried through the subtle body into the womb of a pig. And there he develops a pig's body. And then after due course, it comes out with a pig's body. He wanted to act like a pig, so now he got all the facility by nature's arrangement to act perfectly like a pig. So in this way, the subtle body is affected by our actions, and as a result of that, we get an appropriate body which is arranged by nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha. Prakrite, in the material nature, everything is arranged or everything is happening by the arrangement of guna and karma, three modes of nature, and she is controlling everything by the three modes and karma or action. So this way we can see we have a gross body, and the gross body has certain duration. And when the duration is over, when our term is over, one is supposed to live in a body for 60 years. When he reaches 60, what happened? Now he'll have to leave the body. Who leaves the body? The soul. And how does he leave the body? The soul is carried by the subtle body. Soul goes with the subtle body. And that subtle body is sometimes described as ghost body. Ghost body, because it's subtle. So, with that body, he goes into another body. So death is what? Death is departure of the soul from the body. So who dies? The body dies. This body is born and this body dies. And the period between birth and death, as long as the soul was in the body, that is called life. Life of what? Life of the body. Life of the body. And then one leaves the soul, leaves the body. The body, which is made of inert matter, becomes inert again. This body is made of dead matter. Matter is dead. So this body is made of matter. Therefore this body is a dead body. Isn't it? But because of the presence of the soul, the body is alive. And when the soul leaves the body, the dead body becomes dead again. So, in this way, a living entity transmigrates from one body to another in this material nature. Birth, death. Birth, life, death. He is born, he lives in a body for some time, then he dies. That is called this process is called the transmigration of the soul. Or dehantar, tatha dehantara plaptir. Krishna is explaining this principle in Bhagavad Gita just in one line. That is the difference between Krishna's presentation and our presentation. I have been trying to explain it for last 25 minutes. But Krishna just said it in one word, one sentence, one line. Dehi nashmin jatha dehe kumaram jovanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dhirastatranam ujhati. So Krishna said that and Arjuna understood it. Krishna explained that the body changes. Kumaram jovanam jara. Childhood, youth, old age. The body is changing from childhood to boyhood to youth. Then gradually it becomes old. Now although the body is changing, the self is not changing. We can all consider, we all had a body, little boy body. Say when you're 5 years old, did you have this body? Unless you are 5 years old. You had a different body. Where is that body? 5 year old body? Is not there. But you, when you remember, when I was 5 years old, I did this. Isn't it? When you are 5 years old. So that means when the body was 5 years old, you did that. So that was a different body. So who are you? So Krishna is telling that Dehi, the body, the owner of the body. Deha is the body and Dehi is the owner or proprietor of the body. So Krishna is saying the body changes, but the proprietor of the body doesn't change. So who is the proprietor of the body? The proprietor of the body is the self, the soul. When you say I, who do we identify? Although generally we tend to identify with the body, but actually I is the self. So in this way, Krishna explained this very, very intricate principle in a very simple way. There is body and the soul. Whose body? We say my body, right? Who is me then? Do we say I body? So it's not, I am not this body. Who is the I? It's my body. So that is the soul, that is the proprietor of this body. And as I mentioned, the soul has two types of body. Gross body and the subtle body. And at the time of death, the gross body dies, but the subtle body doesn't die. Gross body dies, subtle body doesn't die. Subtle body goes with the soul to the next body. But as long as we have the subtle body, we cannot become free from the material bondage. We are actually tied down to the material nature with these bodies, gross body and the subtle body. We are tied down to the material nature with this body. The gross body dies at the time of death, but the subtle body will not die. So the subtle body, how can we get rid of the subtle body? Subtle body will not die. Subtle body will not be destroyed in that way. Subtle body can be transformed. And how the subtle body is transformed? The subtle body is transformed with our connection to the Lord, connection to Krishna. When we develop our connection to Krishna, then the subtle body is transformed. What happens to the subtle body? Subtle body takes its spiritual shape. It is spiritualized. Mind will not die. But we can transform the mind or spiritualize the mind. Now what is the process of spiritualization? How do we spiritualize something? How do we spiritualize something? Yes, Radharani? By connecting to Krishna. By linking with Krishna, by connecting to Krishna, it becomes spiritualized. So when with mind, we think about Krishna. Business of mind is to think. Business of the mind is to think. So when with the mind we think about Krishna, then the mind is spiritualized. What is the function of intelligence? Premalila, you are about to say something. What is the function of the intelligence? Intelligence, the purpose of intelligence, the function of intelligence is to plan. So how we are going to do something, that is the purpose of intelligence. Planning. Now when we, in material nature, generally what we are using our intelligence for? To plan how we are going to enjoy. Isn't it? That's how we are making our plans, using our intelligence. But when we use the intelligence to plan how we are going to give pleasure to Krishna, then the intelligence is spiritualized. And in this way, when we become a very good servant of Krishna, then what happens to the false ego? The false ego is transformed into and spiritualized. In this way, when we become engaged in serving Krishna, the false ego becomes transformed into our real swarup, real identity as a servant of Krishna. So now you can see, by being engaged in devotional service, how can you get rid of your subtle body? So in this way, when one becomes engaged in serving Krishna, what happens to his subtle body? Anshu? Very good. The subtle body is transformed into spiritual body. Right? But we have the gross body, right? But we have the gross body, but at that time, inside the gross body there is no subtle body. It is the pure spirit soul who is residing in the gross body. So that is the state which is called Swarup Siddhi, spiritual perfection, or perfection of one's spiritual identity. Then is that body material or spiritual? When the spirit soul, pure spirit soul, is dwelling in the apparently material body, is it a material body or a spiritual body? And how? Priyavrata, you said it's spiritual body. How is it spiritual?
Because it's engaged in Krishna service and his consciousness is Krishna.
Yeah. So? But the body is made of five elements. That's matter. Earth, water, fire, air, ether.
The soul is spiritual.
Soul is there in this body also.
Spiritualized.
In that respect, we can think of the example of iron and fire. When the iron is in fire, what happens? Iron becomes red hot. Then is it iron or fire? When the iron becomes red hot, it's fire. So similarly, the apparently material body made of earth, water, fire, air and ether becomes spiritualized. And then when the time comes for the living entity to leave this body, then he is already pure spirit soul dwelling in this body. What happens to him? He goes back to the spiritual sky. And that is called Vastu Siddhi, the ultimate perfection of the individual. Does it make sense? Therefore, Krishna consciousness, or the subject of this that we are discussing, is actually a science. It's a science. It's not just faith. It is not that I believe. Because I am a Hindu, therefore I believe. Or I am a Jew, or I am a Christian, I am Muslim, therefore I believe. No, it's not a matter of belief, it's a matter of science. Does the body change from childhood to youth to old age only for the Hindus? No. Everybody changes. So this is applicable to all human beings, irrespective of their faith. Therefore, Prabhupada, once when Prabhupada was in New York, some Roman Catholic priests came to see Srila Prabhupada. And they complained to Prabhupada, "Why are you converting the Christian boys and girls into Hindus? Why are you converting them into Hindus?" Prabhupada said, "No, I'm not converting some Christians into Hindus or Jews into Muslims and Muslims into..." He said, "I'm simply making better Christians out of Christians, better Muslims out of Muslims, better Jews out of Jews, and better Hindus out of Hindus." Like many of us were Hindus, but what did it mean? We were nothing. It didn't mean anything. At the most, we went to some temples and did some puja without knowing anything. But today, we understood the science of the soul, the relationship between the soul and the body. We understood the purpose of our existence. We understood that there is a gross body, there is a subtle body, there is a spirit soul. And we all understood that the spirit soul was not generated here out of some chemicals. The spirit soul came from the spirits, from the spiritual world. Therefore, our business is to go back to the spiritual sky. And all the informations are most wonderfully presented in these scriptures. Like Book of Signs. When we want to know something, we have to study some books. Like, for example, Vyasji, when he became a lawyer, how did he become a lawyer? By studying the law books, right? And the law book gave you all the information. Similarly, Anshul is studying engineering. Computer science. How did you learn computer science? From books. You needed books, and only books were enough? Did you just buy the books from the market and became an expert? Then you needed a teacher to explain what's in the book. So similarly, to get proper information, we need books and we need teachers to explain those books, explain those subjects. Similarly, we have these books that has all the information about spiritual reality. And if we come across a qualified teacher, then he explains the subject to us through the books, and we become expert in those subjects. Thank you very much. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Radharani. Yeah, right. But then, as the body develops, and do you notice the body is developed in the womb of the mother? Right? The soul is there, and the body has been awarded by the mother. And when the child comes out, what does it do the first thing? Cries. Why is that? That is, he is taking the prana. Prior to that, he was connected to the mother, and all his functions of the body was connected to the mother's body. But when he became independent, he has to keep himself within the body. Right? So, he's taking the prana and securing himself in the body. The prana sustains the soul within the body. And when the baby doesn't cry, the doctors become worried. Do you notice? When the baby, right after birth, doesn't cry, the doctor becomes worried. Yeah. So you don't forget Krishna and continue to serve Krishna. Yeah.
Fire is also in the form of Vishwana in the body. So, please, would you like to tell something about Vishwana?
Yeah, the fire is situated in the form of Vaishanar, and as what is the fire doing? It's digesting the food. The prana is keeping the soul inside the body, and the soul is actually activating the body, making everything. It's because of its presence. Everything is happening in the body. And one of the action is to sustain the body, it needs food. To act in this body, he needs energy. That energy is generated by... How is the energy generated? Energy is generated by fuel. Right? And fuel needs a carburetor, spark plug. Right? So, that causes the fuel to turn into energy. So what is the fuel for us? The fuel for us is the food. And the carburetor is Vaishanar. It's making, the fire is actually digesting the food and converting into energy, and also making the body cells and etc. Yes, Kangana.
Yes, for this study's class, Brahma has every day and night. So when there is day and night, then means there is another sun. Day and night calculated in relation to the sun. There is this sun or the another sun?
What's that? I don't get that.
Brahma has day and night. Because there is 30 days makes 1 month. 30 compos study period. So if there is day and night with Brahma, so if there is day and night, there may be another sun is there.
So I see. Okay. Not necessarily. That there can be a calculation of time in another way. Like for example, in lower planetary system, the sun rays don't enter there. There, the light is generated from the jewels of the serpents. There is no sun. So where is the calculation? The ultimate calculation of time actually comes from heartbeat. The heartbeat is actually causing the calculation of time, ultimately. And that is how the duration, like it is not this according to sun, but how many heartbeats. That is the ultimate consideration of duration. Yes, Radharani. The heartbeat goes on whether the sun is up or not. When you're sleeping, does the heartbeat go on? It's going on. With us, it is according to sun. But not always according to sun. The Vedic astrology has two calculations. Solar and lunar. So there's a lunar calculation also. Generally, it is predominantly lunar. Not solar. Yes.
Когда душа входит в духовный мир, существуют факторы, которые доказывают то, что она ушла в духовный мир. А где можно их, какой терапию можно их
почитать? When the soul may go up or down, yes. And when the soul is going up, then how we can know this? What we should see?
I didn't get that. What's that?
Like when person dies, then soul may go up or down.
Okay.
If soul go up, what we should see, how we can understand
that
soul go up.
We may not understand, but he understands.
But spiritual,
well, sometimes one can see according to one's spiritual advancement, he can see that. Also, when somebody acts in a certain way, we know what the result will be. Like, also the way one leaves his body, one can see. When one leaves his body chanting the holy name of the Lord, then we know that he went back to the spiritual sky. But, you see, there are nine holes in the body. Like, some are in the lower region of the body, some are in the higher region of the body. So when the soul lives from the higher region of the body, that's an indication that he has gone to the higher planetary system. But when one leaves the body with the lower part of the body, then we know that he has gone to hellish planet. I mean, anyway, so that is how we can understand. But when one chants the holy name of the Lord, when the soul lives through the mouth by chanting the holy name, he goes back to the spiritual sky. Yes?
Yeah, but what is the difference between subtle body and soul?
Subtle body and the soul. Subtle body is material. Subtle body is also, although subtle, it is material, the mind, intelligence. But the soul is the spiritual. The mind may not be there, but the soul will be there. Like sometimes we see, when one is deep in deep sleep, then the mind is not acting, mind is not working, subtle body is not working, but the soul is still there. So, it is through the mind or the subtle body, the consciousness flows to the gross body. And through that, the gross body becomes active. So subtle body is a medium through which the consciousness is flowing towards the material direction. But the soul can exist without the subtle body. The pure spirit soul, pure devotee, a liberated devotee of the Lord, doesn't have a subtle body. He is a pure spirit soul. His body is spiritual. But as long as he has a gross body, he uses the gross body in the service of Krishna. Last question. Okay, good, good. Yes, yes, there is no need to speculate. You see, when a living entity turns away from Krishna. Now what is away from Krishna? Krishna's external energy. Bohiranga Shakti. Right? When we are looking towards Krishna, we are in Krishna's internal potency. When we look away from Krishna, we are looking at Krishna's external energy. Material nature. Now material nature is inferior in quality. Right? The spirit soul is superior. So when a spirit soul sees the material nature, which is inferior, it develops a tendency to lord over. Right? Originally a spirit soul is a servant, but here the spirit soul is trying to lord over. And as a result of that, his identity is confused. And that's the first covering of false ego. Then he plans how he's going to enjoy this material nature. Comes the second covering of intelligence. Then his consciousness flows towards the material direction through the mind. Gets the third covering of mind. So in this way, he develops the mind, intelligence and false ego. And that causes the subtle body. And then according to the subtle body, he gets a gross body. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare.